Okay, so today I said that we may move on to Dinu de Malchus Adinu. We finally, not finally, but we exhausted, I think, somewhat the topic of Yishuvar Yisrael versus Amir Lachim, why you're allowed to violate Amir Lachim for the sake of Yishuvar Yisrael. Dinu de Malchus Adinu is most known as a Gittin Daf Yud topic because that's where it really comes up explicitly in the Gemara. The Mishnah says on Daf Yud Amidbeis, Maseches Gittin, Kol Hashtaros Ha'olam Barachol Shal Ovdei Kuchavim, Af Pisha Chosmeim Ovdei Kuchavim Ksherim. Any shtar that comes through Archol Shal Ovdei Kuchavim, which is a non-Jewish court, Rashi says, Mokom Beis Vad Dayanim Kavuin Shalahem, their place of Dayanim Kavuim, so a non-Jewish court, even though Chosmeim Ovdei Kuchavim, even though the contracts are signed by Ovdei Kuchavim, Ksherim told them to be kosher, with the exception of Gitei Nashim B'Shechurei Avadim, those are not going to be kosher with our Chol Shel Ovdei Kuchavim. Rav Shimon Omer, Af Elu Ksherim Lohuzkal B'Zman Shenasu B'Hedyot. These are also kosher. Even Gitei Nashim B'Shechurei Avadim are kosher when they're done on the day of the Kuchavim. And the Gemara is going to have to explain, obviously, what this is all about. What do you mean? You're allowed to have a civil divorce, and that's going to count as a divorce on a Torah level? How could that possibly work? There is a significant discussion in the Rishonim and Achronim over here of do they have to follow any rules for it to be kosher? I mean, we're saying that all their shtaros that come out of their courts, even Chosmeim Ovdei Kuchavim are kasherim. Is that like across the board? There are no rules that they need to follow in order for them to be kosher. It's just automatically kosher. So that's a major discussion in the Achronim over here, but not something I want to get into right now. But says the Gemara. Gemara says we need to explain this. Mishnah kapasuk v'tani, lo shtar mecher, lo shtar matana. Apparently, it doesn't make a difference whether it's a shtar mecher or a shtar matana. Zot Rashi, kol hashtaros ksherim b'chosmei Ovdei Kuchavim, lo shtar shtar mecher, lo shtar shtar matana. Any document signed by Ovdei Kuchavim, doesn't matter if it's a sale document, doesn't matter if it's a matana document, it's always going to be kosher. So says Gemara, bishlam mecher, I understand very well, shtar mecher, you're selling something, v'chiyav zuzi kamayu hudakana, shtar raya be'almahu. I understand why that works, because the shtar's function is simply to serve as a shtar raya. I mean, the shtar doesn't make anything happen. What allows the transaction to happen? When it comes to a guy, ma'os konos. You give the guy money, and then you've already been kona whatever you want. So the shtar just proves that you've already made the kinyan. So that I get. I understand how that could work. It's like a chazaka. That it's not that the shtar is valuable as a shtar. It's that it's a good raya because you have a chazaka. They would never write a shtar unless they saw that money actually changed hands. But when it comes to shtar matana is not a shtar raya. What do we call a shtar matana? It's a shtar kinyan. Big difference between a shtar raya and a shtar kinyan. Shtar raya just proves that there was a transaction. It doesn't make the transaction. A shtar kinyan is the transaction. That this is the kinyan. The kinyan is through a shtar. If you're makadish anisha with a shtar, what's that? It's a shtar kinyan, right? It's that it's l'kiyum adavar. It's what makes, just like we have edus, that's l'birur adavar, and edus l'kiyum adavar, a concept we're somewhat familiar with, that sometimes you have edim just to clarify what happened, but the edim aren't making anything happen. Like when edim say, we know that Reuven owes Shimon $100, the edim are just clarifying what happened. And sometimes you have edus where the edim are making it happen, where you have edi kiddushin. It's not that if a kiddushin happens without edim, they're really married because we don't know about it. No, they're not married at all. It's edus l'kiyum adavar. So you have the same thing in the world of shtaros. You have a shtar l'birur adavar and a shtar l'kiyum adavar, except we call it a different name. We call it a shtar raya and a shtar kinyan. When something is just a shtar raya, so I don't care if it's a kosher shtar, it just needs to actually prove the point. Meaning the bottom line is, it just needs to actually prove what happened. So in this case where you have a mecher, what made the sale valid? When the guy gave money, he sold him something, so you gave money, that's what made the sale. The shtar's function is just to prove that there was a sale. So even a shtar produced in a Gaiusha court could prove that there was a sale, because we know the Gaiusha courts don't write shtaros just stam. They only write shtaros if it really happened. So it proves that there was a sale. But a shtar kinyan means that this shtar has to function as a binding shtar in order for the kinyan to even happen. Like a shtar matana. When I give a matana with a shtar, it's not the whole kinyan is the shtar. Well, if a guy made the shtar, how is that a good kinyan? How could that work? How could that function as a shtar kinyan? Very, very important distinction between shtar raya and shtar kinyan. I've often told the story of Michael Hecht, who's my 11th grade Rebbe. He was also my pre-law advisor when I was in NYU, when I was applying to law schools. And he told me when he was in NYU law school, his first day in school, the professor came in and asked a stira between two court rulings and said, what do you do with this court? What do you do with the ruling of the court in this case and that case? And he immediately raised his hand and said, it's pashut. One's a shtar raya, one's a shtar kinyan. Meaning there are two completely different types of shtaros. So it was his first day of contracts, and they thought he was the biggest genius. And he happens to be very, very smart. But he said, he gave me more credit than I deserve as being a genius, figuring out shtar raya versus shtar kinyan. So this is a very, very important distinction. So Gemara says, for a shtar kinyan, what do you mean? It's a piece of garbage. It's a shard. It's nothing. So Amar Shmuel, no, here's why it works. Dina de malchusa dina. Because anything that's the law of the land is the law. Or maybe you could say, no, we mean except for Gitei Nashim. For Gitei Nashim, it won't work. Zakrashi, dina de malchusa shal ovdei kochavim. That's all he adds. The din of the Malchusa is a din of Avdei Kochavim, and therefore, even when it's a shtar kinyan, when the Mesira of the shtar creates the kinyan, it's going to work, it's going to count as a shtar, because that is secular law. So it's supposed to work. So Rashi gives us very little over here. He doesn't really explain why din of the Malchusa dina, and it doesn't explain how the fact that we have to observe the laws of the land would make a shtar meaningful. Just because we have to observe the laws of the land, still, do we assume that this kinyan happened on a Torah level? Do we assume that it worked on a Torah level? Right? He doesn't explain that at all. Nor does he explain the scope of Dina de Malchusa Dina. I mean, when you think about the sugya of Dina de Malchusa Dina, you need to figure out by what law, by what Torah law, is Dina de Malchusa Dina binding? Where does it say it in the five books of Moses that I got to listen to Dina de Malchusa? And if it doesn't say it in the five books of Moses, if it doesn't say it in Chumash, so where does it come from? Did the rabbis make up this din of din malchus din? Is this a din drabban? Is this a din d'orais? What kind of din is this? So once I know by what law, then I need to figure out what's the full scope of it. Does din malchus din apply to things that are that are ritual in nature? That if the law of the land is that you have to take off on Christmas Day, so should I take off on Christmas Day and not work on Christmas Day? What if you're supposed to go to Mass on Christmas? Do I have to do that too? Is that din malchus dina? Does it only apply to things that are not ritual in nature? Does it the only things that don't go against our religion, things that do go against? What if there's a monetary law that goes against what the Chosha Mishpat says? Would we say din malchus dina, or would we go with the Chosha Mishpat? Or is it only in the gray areas where halacha has nothing to say? Meaning it's wide open. It could be anything and everything, just the way we leave it here. We just say din ad malchus dina. So it could be everything. Also, where is din ad malchus dina? Is din malchus dina in any place, any country? Maybe it's only in countries where we're treated properly, where the government treats Jews properly. Maybe it shouldn't apply in Eretz Yisrael for some reason or another. We have to figure out what the scope of Din Malchus Din is on all of these levels, and Rashi gives us nothing over here. Luckily, Rashi does give us something a daf earlier. On daf test, the Gemara also, Gemara doesn't mention Din Malchus Din, but the Gemara mentions this Mishnah about Chutz Migitei Nashim Vishachurei Avadim. On daf test Amud Aleph, at the bottom, we have a Braisa. Braisa tells us, "V'shlosha drachim shavu gitei nashim v'shichurei avadim." There are three ways that gitei nashim and shichurei avadim are similar. There are three halachos that they have in common. So, what are those three halachos? Number one, shavu l'molach l'mevi, that they both have a halacha they have to say b'fanei nachtam when you bring a shichureved or you bring a get isha from the Dina Sayyam, you need to say b'fanei nachtam. We're very familiar with that halacha by now. Number two, v'kol get sheyeshal of eid kuti pasul chutz migitei nashim shichurei avadim. Any get, any shtar that has an aid who is a kuti, kutim or as machlokas tanayim and amroim, whether they gerei emes or gerei arayos, do they count as Jews, do they not count as Jews? Either way, any shtar that has an aid that's a kuti is going to be is going to be possible except for Gita Nashim Shechori Avadim, where it's going to be kosher for some reason, and we're going to be more lenient and we're going to accept an eight kuti by Gita Nashim Shechori Avadim. And number three, the kalashkaros ha'olim ba'archol shalov dikchavim, afal pishechol smeyan of dikchavim, ksherin chutz mi Gita Nashim Shechori Avadim. Any shtar that comes, and this is a quote from that Mishnah on Daf Yiram and Beis, any shtar that's olim ba'archol shalov dikchavim, even though chosmei and avdik chavim, it's signed by avdik chavim, they're going to be kosher, except for gitei nashim, yishikurei avadim. Zot Rashi, ha'olim barachol shel avdik chavim, shenasu ashtaros al yidei beizin shel avdik chavim, shechosmei, chosmin shebetocho, the signatures in the shtar. Kshevin, why? It says Rashi, to din of malchus adina. Now we know where Rashi got it from, right? He took it straight from the Gemara in Yoram and Beis. Now it's interesting, the Gemara in Yoram and Beis gave din of malchus adina as one of the possibilities of how to answer the question of why the shtar works from a choshel of chavim, right? The Gemara in Yoram and Beis had a different answer also. It said, viva yuseima, tani chutz mi begiti nashim. That was another answer that the Gemara gave, that any chutz mi, Tni chutz mi, what is it? It says, Viva yiseima, Tni chutz mi ki gite nashim. Doesn't mean except for gite nashim, means except for any shtar kinyin. Shtar kinyin is not covered over here. Shtar kinyin would not be okay. So it seems from the Gemara that there are 2 days where the din malchus dina. What? How would you finish that sentence? 2 days where the din malchus dina exists, maybe, or 2 days where the din malchus dina would apply to a get. Right? It's unclear what the machlokas is about, but there are definitely 2 days in that Gemara. Right? Again, the Gemara asks the Kasha, why by Ishtar Kinyan should we say Din Malchus Adina? I mean, why by Ishtar Kinyan should we say if it comes from a non-Jewish court it should work? Ishtar Kinyan, it's a chas v'yelm, it's a piece of garbage. How could it possibly work when it comes from a non-Jewish court? So the Gemara has two possibilities. Either Din Malchus Adina makes it work, or we say, no, in Achanami, it doesn't work. Anything that's a shtar l'kiyum adavr, that's a shtar kinyan, like a get, doesn't work when it comes from a choshel of the chavim. So why is it that it doesn't work? Is that shita, that second shita, saying that there's no such thing as dinat malchus adina at all? Or is it saying there is such a thing as dinat malchus adina, but it's not going to apply to git or any sort of shtar kinyan? So those are two ways to understand it. If you look at Rashi over there in Yilam Beis, tani chutz mi ki gitei nashim, kol shtaros shein ki gitei nashim, shal yidei ashtar, hadav nigmar, dahainu nami shtar matana, vuadinami de matzi l'shnuye ve'edim esiri. Okay, then it says what the Gemara also could have answered. Meaning, anything that's a shtar kinyan, we would not apply, we would not allow it from a choshel of the chavim. Now back to our Rashi of Yeren Tesam and Beis that we were talking about. So he said, chutz migita, so din malchus adina, v'alpi shanosim m'kabli yisraelim, hey? So there's every word in these Rashis are critical. Why is it a shtar that comes from a Gaish court is binding, is good? Because din malchus adina, right? Every shtar from a Gaish court is good, except for gitin Rashi Meshachrevan, because din malchus adina. And then Rashi adds, the apal pishanosim lemakabi Yisrael name. What does that mean? What's the chiddush? And even though the case is a case between two Jews, and you would think, no, din malchus adina can't apply between two Jews. Din malchus dina applies when it's a guy and a Jew. So that's when you follow along like two Jews. Follow chosh mishpah. What are they even doing in a chosh lovichavim? It's aser to go there a chosh lovichavim. You have a case between two Jews. So that's quite a chiddush. How did Rashi know that that's true? Who told Rashi it's talking about two Jews? How does he know this?
Well, can't be talking about
Gershon
with a
guy
and a Jew.
Ah, very good. So it's right. I mean, the fact that the Mishnah contrasts it with a get. Says, yeah, shtar from Erchos is good except for by a get. Well, by a get, it's obviously two Jews. So we're obviously saying that in a case that's Doma, to a case of a get, where it's two Jews, so in the case that's Doma to that, we're gonna, by Mamanus, we're going to say that the shtar is kosher. So you see, Dinu Malchus Adina applies even between two Jews. So Gevald Kachidish, but he gets it from the Gemara. He gets it from the Mishnah. The Mishnah compares Gitei Nashim to other cases.
Maybe it's the premise is different, that it's not because with Gershon and with you get it to two Jews. It's for some other reason.
What do you mean?
Meaning that they can't take the Rashi can't take the case of Get because maybe Get is an exception for a different reason, not because it's two Jews.
No, I don't think he's saying it's an exception because it's two Jews. I'm saying, if it were an exception because it was two Jews, then that's not really a difference between get and other shtaros. Every shtar, if it was two Jews, wouldn't be okay. Right? Why is only get not okay? It must be there's something else about get other than the fact that it's two Jews. Otherwise, it wouldn't really be a difference. If we're highlighting shtaros are okay, but get is not okay. Well, if the real difference were anything between a Jew and a guy is okay, anything between two Jews is not okay, it's not about shtar versus get. Mm-hmm. So, the fact that the Mishnah makes it about other shtaros versus get tells you that it's not about who's involved in the case, that even if it were two Jews involved in the case, we would still apply Dina Malchus Adina, a phenomenal Chiddush. And anyone who's going to argue that Dina Malchus Adina will not apply between two Jews is going to have to contend with this. They're going to have to deal with what about this Mishnah? Right? It's a major issue. Next Rashi, very important also, Chutz Migitei Nashim, except for Gitei Nashim, where we're not going to say Din Malchus Adina, apparently. Why? Why don't we apply Din Malchus Adina by Gitei Nashim? That part the Gemara didn't tell us either. The Gemara just told us that by Gitei Nashim we don't apply it. But why not? Says Rashi, Delav V'nei Krisus Ninu, because Goyim can't get divorced. But they're not getting divorced. We just said it's between two Jews. So get that comes from a non-Jewish court is no good. Why? Because...
to the shliach, or if they were involved in
what? What are they doing?
They'd have to be the shliach.
They're, well, who says it's a shliach? Husband and wife come to Beis Din. They are Edim, they are the Sofer, right? They're everything else, right? So why does that matter if they're B'nai Krisus? They can't get divorced, and therefore they can't be an aid on the divorce? Why? Who says
that? You're not eligible to do something, then you can't be eligible to...
is it more later on, no?
Ah, so if you're not B'nai Krisus, apparently that disqualifies you from any role in the divorce proceedings. So is this really a din about get per se? It's a din about not being B'nai Oso Adavar, and then not being included in that, what?
It's more of an honor status.
Right, exactly. So let's see Rashi again. So the Lav B'nai Krisus, Ninu, Hovelo Shaychi B'toros Gitin V'Kiddushin, Aval Al Hadinin Itztavu B'nai Noach. But since B'nai Noach are Mitzuva Andinim, they're able to make shtaros that involve money. V'chein shechur evadim, the v'kal psulda araisa shavu shechur get isha to gamrin l'allah. And the same is true when it comes to the psul of avadim as well, for them to be involved in a shtar shechur for an evad. Why? Are they not b'nei shechur avadim? No, but anything that's true about a get, we learn the same is true about shechur avadim. Not because they're not b'nei shechur evadim, it's just that's the halacha. That anything that's true about a get, we learn in Lalla Meisha that it's also going to apply to shechur evadim. But Rashi's telling us a lot over here, because over here Rashi tells us, why is it that Gitei Nashim are the exception to Din Malchus Dina? Why is that Din Malchus Dina doesn't cover get? Nothing to do with the fact that it's two Jews. It's because Din Malchus Dina can't cover something that Goyim have no business being involved in. But a Jew's monetary cases, the Goyim do have a business being involved in, because they have a requirement to set up dinim. It's one of the Shavuot of Bnei Noach. And as their requirement to set up dinim, they're allowed to make binding laws. And therefore, we have to observe those laws. So Rashi seems to be telling us a reason, a basis for dinim malchus adina. And where does it say it in the Torah? Din Malchus Adina doesn't say it anywhere. It says Rashi, yes it does. Because if one of the Shemites B'nei Noach that they have to set up dinim, how does it make sense that they're going to set up dinim and then we're allowed to ignore them? God is going to command them. You have to set up a system of justice and dinim, and there has to run society. And then we're going to say, yeah, America, that's what you need to do. You know what our job is? To cheat on our taxes and to steal into whatever and ignore all of your laws. Well, how does that make sense? Judaism thinks they have to make laws just so we can break them? That can't be. It must be that if God empowers them to make laws, He also requires us to observe those laws. That's what Rashi seems to be saying, that B'nai Noach, because they're mitzuv in dinin, that's what enables them to...
Why can't you just say that's for them, but we have ours?
That we have our own system
of
laws. Okay. Why do they have to make a system of laws?
For them, so they don't.
Why? What do they need it for? What does it do? What does it accomplish?
Order.
Order. Keeping society running. If there are different rules for everybody, so it could be that that will impinge on the ability of society to run properly. But if that's the din, so take him back to Gitei Nashim now. Meaning, is part of dinim that they should set up laws of marriage and divorce also? Meaning, by Goyim, is there a concept of Ishus by Goyim? What if a non-Jew sleeps with a bunch of non-Jewish women who are Ishus Ish to other non-Jews? Is it okay for them to punish on that? For them to take someone to court for that? Is that a fair system for them to have? That adultery is a crime?
Yes.
Of course it's a fair system, right? Adultery should be a crime. Marriage, divorce, they should set that up too. So what's Rashi talking about over here? Why is it that Din Malchus Adina, why is it that we don't follow our laws of money, we follow their laws of money, because they're empowered to set up laws, because B'nai Noach, Mitzvah, and Dinim. But when it comes to marriage and divorce, we don't follow their laws because they're not B'nai Krisus. What does it mean they're not B'nai Krisus? They're not B'nai our Krisus. But they're allowed to set up marriage and they're probably supposed to set up marriage and divorce laws also. So what does Rashi mean over here? He's clearly drawing a distinction. They're not B'nai Krisus, but they are B'nai Mammon. But they're B'nai divorce also on their own level.
So money is the same for everybody, but they're not married.
But their money laws are different than our money laws.
Alright, that's true, but I'm saying they're women on the same as our women.
What do you mean?
Meaning it's on the recording. Jewish women are not.
What?
It's on the recording.
It's okay. No one listens. It's alright.
Hear me, but so I'm saying, so there's no intermarriage, but we exchange money.
Meaning that it's not even shayach to have ishus bein Nachri liYisrael. It's shayach to have business between Nachri liYisrael. So even though din malchus din, according to Rashi himself, will apply even when it's between Jew and Jew, that's only on things that could also happen between Jew and Gentile. But something that's not shayach between Jew and Gentile, that can't even happen as an intermarriage. It's not even shayach. The word doesn't make sense. Intermarriage. It's not a marriage. It's not recognized as marriage at all. That they don't have shlita over. Could very well be. Yeah.
Maybe their marriage is also a monetary thing. Our marriage is a different.
What do you mean it's a monetary thing?
Meaning like they get divorced, and it's a monetary thing. It's not like they're coming. Like their purpose for marriage is different.
They get divorced. When we get divorced, it's a monetary thing. Also, we have to pay a ksuba.
I mean,
there's definitely monetary.
There's no, their marriage is based off of like it's a legal institution. It's not like a kedusha based thing.
It's not b'hayu l'basar echad kind of goal.
No,
it's more of a
which
may fit very well. The Achron discuss what exactly is the Isser. Is there an Isser for a guy to sleep with somebody else's wife?
When he talks about kedusha
before Matan Torah, caveman goes into the shuk and says, "I take you." So, but what is it? What's the Isser? What's the nature of the Isser to sleep with someone else's wife? So the Achron discuss what the nature of the Isser is. They say maybe gezel. That you're stealing something that's shayach to somebody else, which fits what you're saying a lot.
It's like by Noah, by Hamas.
So the Hamas is Arayus and Gezel is one and the same, right? That it's all one and the same because that is the Avera of Arayus, it functions within Gezel. Okay, these are possibilities in understanding Rashi over here. Let's take a step back and maybe see what some of the other Rishonim say about the din. Yeah?
Just a question in general. If something doesn't apply to someone, then within Judaism, could they also not participate in it? Like the rule they were saying that they're not B'nai Krisus, so they can't do
get. So is this a broader rule? Halacha, or is this only get halacha?
A person, God forbid, can't have children, so they're not. Maybe if you hold that the purpose of marriage is pervus, then they can't be a part of like
that would be different, I think, because there's nothing halachically holding them back from having children. It's something that's a mitzvah.
Like women shouldn't be married if having kids or adults, so you can't. So a woman shouldn't be mitzvah man as well. Or let's say a cousin can't be mitzvah man who's over bar mitzvah in mitzvahs.
That's to be mitzvah somebody. These are what about to be an aid or a dayan or something like that? Let's say. A Bas Kohen Shazinsa. It's a different halacha than Bas Yisrael. So I'm not a Kohen. Can I be an aid on that? Mm. Adai I can. Right? We don't say he's not b'nei. Well, he could be mazana with the bas kalai. So that would be kohen eats truma tamei. That's a fair way. We have to come up with a good example. I don't know. I'm not sure if I have a good example. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but I think there's a din by get.
Women can't write tefillin.
What?
Women can't write tefillin.
Not really. I mean, we pass them that way. Lamaisa, lamaisa. But, you know, technically she can if she were able to keep a gufnaki. You know, it's no different than tzitzis. I mean, we pass the women generally don't wear tzitzis either. But every once in a while you have women who wear tzitzis.
The people listen to every shit.
Right, I told you this story, right? Somewhere said this. yeah. Somewhere between the Satmar and the Reconstructionist Rabbi. Someone in the middle where I said this. Okay, so let's take a step back and take a look at what Rishonim have to say about Din Malchus Dina. I put it on the sheet over here, I think 6 different approaches to Din Malchus Dina. I saw in the Shmuos this morning in the Sefer, a beautiful Sefer, I'm getting here, some thoughts. Possibly 7 different approaches to Din Malchus Sedina. Let's start with the biggest ones. We have the Rashbam and Barbas with Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis. Says Rashbam, Vamar Shmuel Din Malchus Sedina. Source number 3 on your packets. Kol Masim Va'Arnonios Umin Hagos Shal Mishpatei Malachim. What is that? Masim Va'Arnonios?
Taxes.
Taxes, right? Anything that involves that, all taxes that and Min Hagos of king's law books, Sheregilum Lahanig Malchusam, that they enforce in their Malchus, Dinuhu. Shekolb, why? So he just translated what Dinu Malchus Dinu means. But even in the translation, he gave us something. What did he say? Taxes. That's what Dinu Malchus Dinu is. So in terms of the scope of Dinu Malchus Dinu, seems very, very limited. That's a little different than the way Rashi made it sound, that a get can't be included because they're not b'nei krisus. It makes it sound like, you know, really anything should be included. It's just you need a special mia to exclude something. And here the Rashbam is saying, taxes. Taxes are binding because of dina malchus dina. Now why? Why is it binding? Shekol b'nei amalchus mekablum aleihem miritzonam chukei amelech u'mishpatav v'hilkach din gomorhu. So what does he say? What makes it binding? It seems to be from Mechila. That when I choose to live here, it's an unstated but clear indication that I'm willing to follow the rules. And if there are rules that are set up over here, I'm willing to follow those rules. Everybody accepts it, just being mekablet is enough. If you look at, now, where does mechila work? Where does kabbalah mechila? I'm mekabel that we don't have to observe Shabbos. So does that mean I don't have to observe Shabbos? Of course not. But I'm mekabel that if you take my money based on an eid echad, right, that's okay. That I'm allowed to be mekabel. Why? Because that's money. Money is nitan lemechila. So if in the secular law, an eid echad or a karov is kasher le'edus, or an apostle, a gambler, whatever, is kasher le'edus, and that allows you to take my money, yeah, that's okay. You can actually take my money because of that. And you don't have to worry, ain't bo mishum gezel. You're not stealing when you take my money because of that. Because I was already mochel. Now right now I might not feel like being mochel anymore, but it's too late. By agreeing to live here, I've already been mochel.
What if the person was born there? It's not like he moved there.
Okay, so he would say, by staying there, by virtue of the fact that you're staying there. You're right, meaning this sounds a little bit difficult because most people never thought it through to actually make this decision to be mochel.
Also, there's no other country you can move to that won't have like that
some law.
Yeah.
Right. Wherever you go, there's going to be something that you have to follow. All valid kashas on the Rashbam. Meaning, it's an assumed mechila, but it's hard to make such an assumption. Some people don't like any of the laws, and they keep voting, for the Tea Party or whatever, and they just keep losing. So I'm not accepting the way they think the government is socialist or whatever, and that all the laws are corrupt. And are they mekabel? Are they mekabelit? So maybe not. Very difficult to understand. Says the Truma Sedeshen, V'nir k'tzas tamu davar mishum d'chazinon d'kol ha-moshlim regilim b'pshitus b'zeh shem t'dirim l'tvoa b'koshos l'hatil angaria adai t'dach yarukovim d'ira t'achteyam u'mekablam aleinu es ulam u'masa'am v'avukulu me'at v'dira v'alchus adina. He says the same thing, that we know that kings make laws. By choosing to live in a place where we know there's a king that makes laws, we are thereby being makabalit. Now again, according to the Rashbam, number one, din malchus din would only be a din mamnas. We wouldn't apply by anything else. Would you need, is the Rashbam agreeing with Rashi? Probably not, because what is it? Let's take our sugya. Let's try to plug Rashbam into our sugya. What happens in our sugya? The Mishnah says that Erchol Shalakum is good for other things, but not for Gite Noshim. Chutz mi Gite Noshim. Says the Gemara, why is it good for Shtar Kenyan? Gemara says, because Dina Malchus Adina. Right? So what makes Gite Noshim different? Why is Dina Malchus Adina not Shaykh by Gite Noshim? Because there's no... So Rashi says, because it's not B'nai Krisos. Forget about not B'nai Krisos. There's nothing to do with not B'nai Krisos, according to the Rashbam. It's not money. And therefore, it's not Nitan L'Mechila. That's why Dina Malchus Adina doesn't apply. Now the Gemara's second answer, Chutz mi kigite nashim, according to this understanding, would tell us that Dina Malchus Dina wouldn't even apply for Shtar Kinyan about money. I, what about Mechira? Why can't she be Mechira? Why would Dina Malchus Dina not apply? Apparently, the second answer the Gemara says, there's no such thing as Dina Malchus Dina. If there were such a thing as Dina Malchus Dina, it's all about Mechila. And anywhere that it's Shaykh Mechila, it's Shaykh Dina Malchus Dina. So why by Shtar Kinyan shouldn't it work? It shouldn't work, right? Yet, according to the second answer of the Gemara, Chutz mi kigite nashim, it doesn't work. It must be because there's the second day of holes, there's no such thing as Dina Malchus Dina. It's the Maimer of Shmuel in Gantz Shatz. In Babasra, wherever Dina Malchus Dina comes up, it's Shmuel. Omer, Shmuel, Dina Malchus Dina. Great, Shmuel holds that way. What about everybody else? Does anybody else disagree? So you never find an explicit disagreement, but according to the way the Rashbam understands, you have to say that there's a disagreement. According to the Rashi understands, you have to say it's a disagreement. Not necessarily. We might say that Chutz mi Gite Noshim is because Gite Noshim are not Bnei Krisus, and that just sets up a meaning. Why is Dina Malchus Dina binding in the first place? Because they're allowed to set up laws. But maybe the exception to the rule is Gite Noshim v'Chayotzei Bo. Is Gite Noshim and things like it?
Is it possible that we paskin like Shmuel? But we only pass like Shmuel Bedin, so meaning Shmuel meant it for everything.
And we're going to be limited in how we hold.
Yeah,
that's an interesting idea. Right? Hilchsuk Shmuel Bedin, Hilchsuk Karav B'Yisuri. So first of all, we don't necessarily know that. When we say Hilchsuk Shmuel Bedin, it's in Machlok Shmuel and Rav. But if it's not Machlok Shmuel and Rav, there's nothing to tell us not to pass like Shmuel by other things, I don't think. It's not that less hilchsa kishmol b'yisurei, it's that hilchsa kishmol b'dine when it's against Rav. I don't think we find anywhere that Rav is cholik on Shmuel over here. So I don't know if we'd have that motivation to want to pass against Shmuel. But that's a very interesting thought. I don't know, I never thought of that. The other another possibility of in terms of does anyone argue on Shmuel? If you look at the Ritva Nedarim, and if I were making these Marim Makomos today, as opposed to 10 years ago whenever I made these, I probably would have put the Ritva here in Gittin. But if you look at the Ritva Nedarim, he writes, "Kvar harachti b'zeb m'sachz Gittin." I've already discussed this at great length in m'sachz Gittin. Gam perachas k'zabatim, and third perach b'basra, u'b'zeh yesh safi p'kad. V'had Shmuel hilchasahi, notice what he does. He says, in Nedarim and in Baba Basra, we ask on somebody, how could you say what you say? Whatever happened to Dina Malchus Adina? You can only ask that if no one argues. Because otherwise, the simple answer is, yeah, I don't hold the Dina Malchus Adina. So he says, that's one indication that there's no machlokas about Dina Malchus Dina, that we use it as a kasha on Amoraim. What are you going to do with Shmuel? As I remember of Blachman and Kerem Biavda, we said, he said a svara. Someone said, but what are you going to do with Rav Elchanan? And he said, I'll light a candle for him. What do you want me to do with Rav Elchanan? I mean, I don't care what you do with Rav Elchanan. I'll, you know, I'm allowed to argue. Right? So what do you do with Shmuel? What do you mean? I'll argue on Shmuel. Elamai, nobody argues on Shmuel. Shmuel wasn't mechadish din machlokes dina. He observed. He reported that, yes, there is this halacha, this long-standing halacha. Din machlokes dina. That was always accepted. And lo ashkechan man de palag ala b'shum duchta, says the Ritva. So is that so pashut? We don't find man de palag b'shum duchta? What about getting dafyud? Maybe we do find someone who's chavli. So that's why I would like to have seen the Ritva over here, to see how he understands this v'iba yisema. Right? V'iba yisema sounds like we're chavli. That no, it's chutz mi kigite nashim, but really din machlokes dina doesn't cover shtar matana, unless you say the Ritva would understand chutz mi kigide nashim means that din machlokes dina is limited to rayos, that their standards of evidence is good enough, but in terms of making a kinyan, din machlokes dina is not going to allow that to happen. That's a very limited view of din machlokes dina. Right, but then you can understand that they're not arguing. They're not arguing whether there's dina malchus dina in getting yiran beis. They're arguing what are the gedarim of dina malchus dina. Right. So okay, let's take a look at another possibility of dina malchus dina, of what it's based on. The ran in the darim, most famous ran in all in the darim. V'mochis ha'omim ve'el. Every charedi knows this ran. Shalom b'mitzvah hamelach, v'kasu b'tosos, didavka b'malchei ovdei kochavim amar didin l'malchus adina. It's only by malchei ovdei kochavim, by non-Jewish kings, that we say din l'malchus adina. Why? V'pnei sha'aretz shalom. Because the land belongs to him. V'yachal lomer lahem, im lo tasu mitzvosai, agareish eschem min ha'aretz. He could tell you, you don't want to follow my rules? Fine, but as long as you're living under my roof, you're following my rules. As long as you're living in my borders, in my country, I own this place. And therefore, you got to follow my rules. Aval b'malchei Yisrael lo. Lifi she'eretz Yisrael, kol Yisrael shutvin ba. When it comes to malchei Yisrael, it won't apply. Because in Eretz Yisrael, everybody, every Jew, has a shutvas in Eretz Yisrael. V'chiyam yedin malchus adina, Hani mili li inyan she imkana echad meches ze chayav nite lo es hameches. Din malchus dina means if someone acquires the right to collect taxes in this province, then you have to give them those taxes. V'chein ami yom lo kana also elishu memuna ligvos es hameches shein arashi yisrael chaver li shava shein truma v'lek onso kivin din malchus dina. You can't lie about the money. If a guy is authorized by the king to collect the taxes, you got to give it to him. So how does the Ran understand how it works? How does the Malchus Dina work? It's not like the Rashbam says, that we're mochel. No, we weren't mochel. We were never mekabel on ourselves. What is it? That it's like a renter's agreement. It
just is.
Meaning, if you're going to live in my house, so of course I'm allowed to call the shots. I can make whatever conditions I want. It's a tanai. That a tanai of living in my land is that you have to follow my rules. It's like a co-op agreement, right? When you work at it, and this, by the way, in terms of this view, helps us understand taxes a little bit also. That taxes are to pay for shutfim, you know, for your residence. It's like a rental. You're living there, so you got to pay the taxes. You got to pay for either rental stuff or, as Rav Shecht always points out, your shutfim in buying, the light bulbs for the hallway in the co-op and things like that, and the gardeners to mow the lawn in front of the building. You're all shutfim in that part. So we're all shutfim in a country for garbage pickup and for a police force and for an army and for everything, because we're directly benefiting from all that stuff. So we're all shutfim in that. So of course you got to pay that. That's not really about Din Malchusa like he's imposing on us. So there are two types of taxes. There's taxes where he's allowed to impose on us because he can charge whatever he wants. It's his house. And then there's the taxes that we're all shutfim together. So says the Ran, in Eretz Yisrael.
So we're not Isurim.
What?
For the Ran. So what would the Ran say about Isurim?
So would Din Malchus Dina apply for for ritual oil. You're saying for non-money. You're saying.
Yeah.
So show, what do you think?
According to the round, why not?
It's not in mechilas, so why won't it apply for Isur? He gets to make the rules.
Do what I say. So,
so it could be that in a chinami, he gets to make the rules in his house, but we wouldn't be allowed to listen to those rules. Meaning when it comes to money, we're obligated to listen to those rules because it's fair for him to say, but you know, we have different Rabbi, different Talmud, different Mishomim when it comes to Isur. I could always be mochel money, but I can't be mochel Shabbos. So, so therefore, in a chinami, he's allowed to make those rules. Maybe I'm not allowed to live
so
in that country.
Then. Also, between two Jews, also, so he's allowed to make the rules between me and him. What does that do with myself and somebody else?
Oh, so according to the Rambam, if it's between two Jews, so yeah. So why should it, why does it, why is it, why does it matter to the melech? What goes on between me and another Jew? So it shouldn't apply between two Jews, right? So then what's he going to do with our Gemara, right? With Gittin, where we seem to contrast it with Gerishin. Another nafkamina will come out according to the Ran, is the Ran assumes, where does this right come from, the Melech's right to do this? It comes from the fact that he owns the country. What if he doesn't own the country? What if you have a democracy? Who owns America? We the people own America, right? We're all shut from it.
Who's in charge?
Yeah, but it doesn't come from being in charge. The point is, the Ran says, if you don't follow my rules, agaresh eschem min haaretz, because it's my land. But Eretz Yisrael, he says, which also obviously needs a system of laws, and they should be allowed to throw us in jail or whatever if we do something very bad. But because we're all shutvim ba, therefore there's odin l'malchus adina. So democracy, ishmin odin l'malchus adina. Right, this Ran that all the people use to say we don't have to pay taxes in Eretz Yisrael. That's what they say. We don't have to pay taxes in Eretz Yisrael because of the Ran, which we don't pass in the Shulchan Aruch. But everyone digs out this Ran in the Dharma, which shouldn't apply to the taxes that you're paying for Shutfus and for the army and for everything else. But this Ran that they all dig out would tell you not to pay taxes in America either, probably.
Do they really think the Ran would, I mean, I don't know, but would he think he would really say something like that?
I told you what Rosh Hashanah says. There's no way the Ran would say not to pay taxes in Eretz Yisrael, because most of our taxes aren't just a mas hamelech. It's not a rentis fee that he's charging us, that the government charges us. When we pay taxes, it pays for our streets, for our garbage pickup, for our police, for our army, for our defense, for our... It's stuff that we all share.
It's like if Rome was ruling over Israel, and in that case, you shouldn't pay them, because...
Again, the chelik of the taxes that are paying for stuff that we're benefiting from directly, so that's shutvus. That's like being in a co-op where you're just paying for it, right? That, of course, you'd have to pay for. It's just, you know, if he's saying, well, if you want to live here, then you're going to have to pay me X amount of money, stam, because I want to pad my treasury, so that, he would say, you wouldn't have to pay. But that's not what taxes are in a democracy. It's not what taxes are in Eretz Yisrael, it's not what taxes are here. All right, we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, a little bit more.